Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek.
And I'm Jamie Jennings. Sorry, I'm not quite awake yet. It's California time. Killing me. We're coming to you live from America's Country Store in Norco, California. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for November 30th, 2011. And it's episode 283. Good morning, horse people. Morning, Norco. Woo! That's right.
Good morning, California.
Well, I had to throw in Hotel California. We couldn't come to California without putting that in there.
If you would have put me in a place like that place, I would have left.
Instead, we're in a very nice hotel, the Hampton Inn here in Norco. They've been very nice and kind to us and have put us up on our trip here to Norco. Welcome, everybody, to Norco, California. And thank you, everybody, for having us in Norco. We arrived yesterday. Jennifer and I got in a little earlier than you did, Jamie, and we got to see some of the town in the daylight. You haven't done that yet.
Yeah, I drove, and really exciting adventure on the roads where if you go from Arizona through California right at the state line, it was about an hour plus. And I thought, well, maybe there's a big crash. Maybe there's, like, blasting people at the state line. This is going to be exciting. Bridge work. That was it. That's all I saw. It's pretty lame. So an hour later, and then again in trafficking in LA. So that put me into California right around 5. Good time. Yeah, that was fun. I was cruising around the back roads trying to figure out my GPS in one hand, you know, the steering wheel in the other, going, where am I? I had my glasses on. I couldn't see any signs. I'm like, so lost. But I made it.
We got in. Our luggage, unfortunately, did not arrive at the same time we did, but it did arrive on a later flight, so we ended up with our luggage. We almost had a Jamie experience flying. Actually, our flights were good. Our Southwest was good the whole way. We didn't have any of those experiences like you tell about every time you fly.
If you had my flying experience, Glenn, you would just be getting here now.
That's true. That's true. I got to tell you about Norco, though. What a fascinating little town.
Now, tell me about this place I'm at.
I know. You haven't seen yet. You're going to see today. What a fascinating town in that, you know, I'm so used to Lexington, Kentucky, where we have 1,000-acre farms and 50 acres, you know, for two horses.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see the huge rolling pastures of nothing but green. And you get here, and it's like every little town in America. You don't even think you're right outside of L.A. That you don't get that impression at all. You get the impression that you're in the small town I grew up in Pennsylvania, with one exception.
It's not cold.
It's not cold. They have palm trees, and every backyard has horses in it. And I'm talking postage stamps backyards with two or three horses in it, and signs on every one of these properties that are probably no more than an acre that say ranch. So I asked Lisa yesterday, I said, okay, what constitutes a ranch? She said, well, it has to be over what? Help me out here, guys. A half an acre, and it has to have 1.5 horses or three minis. So
that's the rule.
That's the rule, apparently.
It's not a ranch. We got to get another mini. Bring them on in.
Now, I did hear the technical term, I think, is ranchette, that they are ranchettes here. But it is just fascinating. Almost every house in town in the backyard, there's a horse.
You know, this makes me feel good about having 6 horses on 3 acres.
Yeah, you're
that's my house.
You do have a ranch.
Like, everybody gallop around. No, but it's cool because, you know, you see places like this, and a lot of places in Phoenix, unfortunately, are the same way, but I really feel like people don't use their horses. Now, I have never been to a place that is more horse proud. I mean, these people, this town, it is all about the horses. They're all riding around. Didn't you say you saw kids riding
on the street?
We saw kids, like,
right.
Five?
And that's the thing. They don't have sidewalks. They have sand paths. They have bridle paths.
Yeah.
Instead of sidewalks. So you can ride anywhere. We saw little kids riding on ponies along the street. I haven't seen that in a long time.
That's great.
It is really neat. And then
You're used to the Amish. Right?
I know. I'm used to driving and black buggies. You know, that's it. But they had a little... It's so typical of the horse world because they had a little welcome reception for us last night and a lot of people were there. And of course the conversation was about horses. You know, everybody in town has one common thing. And I was talking to Jennifer about that this morning. You know, we live in Lexington. We don't know our neighbors because there's really not much we have in common with the neighbors that live right around us. Here being a town that everybody has something in common, and that's the horse.
Yeah.
Which,
or if you're a woman named Dominique, we go to dinner. We're in this nice little neighborhood, and we see somebody pulling up with a horse trailer. And it turns out inside the horse trailer was a baby zebra, a six-year-old stud zebra, and a camel. That is not normal.
No, that's
not
sure.
Sorry.
It was the cutest little camel, too.
Oh, my gosh. Well, yeah. Apparently, camels don't fit because I was like, oh, my God. They don't spit. They just sneeze, I guess. But yeah, that's the first thing I see when I get to Norco. Is I check into my hotel, we come over here, and there's a camel in the driveway. So very interesting, and we're gonna definitely talk to her a little bit more about her life and the rest of it. But I just thought I would see horses in a trailer.
Yes,
no.
I know. I know. It was unique. You are apparently still going to ride a zebra this week.
Yeah. That whole thing, Glenn. Remember that?
Did you bring your .2 Airbus, by the way?
The six-year-old stud zebra that was in the trailer.
Yeah. Yeah.
She picked it up yesterday, and she said she has 4 hours to get a boat. So if that happens,
perfect.
That's the only way I'm riding
that's
a zebra.
That's the kind of animal you like to ride.
Although,
it's the ones that buck and carry on.
Yeah, not so much. She did say that if we did drink enough, at some point we would try to get on him.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
A couple beers and, let's ride the zebra. Sounds like a good time.
You do have your vest, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, I still need a co-host the rest of the week. Okay, checking.
I'm not riding a zebra, Glenn. It's not going to happen. Give it up. I got a better chance of hopping on that camel.
Now, we are riding today. So
yeah.
There is a trail ride today, and Jennifer is going to cross off one of the things. She does have a bucket list, and it's on the wall of the studio. And on that bucket list was to ride up and get ice cream at a drive-through window. So that is the goal today on the trail ride, is to get ice cream at a drive-up window.
Some people want to climb Mount Everest.
That's right.
On their bucket list, some people want to ride through a drive-thru. Whatever is your thing, we'll support it. I did find out, though, and Jennifer, you're going to want to pay attention to this, as I was talking to some of the people last night about what exactly would go on in the trail ride, and I said, well, you know, what does every girl say? What do I wear? What do I wear? So I'm asking what I should wear during the trail ride. And I said, well, I did bring my boots and breeches. Holy cow. I thought how many people around here ride in riding pants and boots?
Nobody. There was no hands that went up.
This is radio. You have to say it. None? Okay, none. So I was informed that I said, well, I did bring my half chaps. No. Don't wear your half chaps. And I said, well, I have my helmet. They're like, oh, you can't wear your helmet. You have to wear a cowboy hat. I said, well, I will get fired if I do not wear my helmet. So that I will be the one person with my Gap jeans, because I don't own Wranglers. We'll go for a ride. And Jennifer, apparently your boot cut carrots are not going to fly in Northfield, California.
I'm wearing my boot cut carrots because they're styling.
We're going to do some shopping. Y'all sell jeans? Hey, Larry. Y'all sell Wranglers? Well, come on up to the
Larry,
microphone.
About 2 inches away from the microphone. Let's tell everybody where we are. We are now at the Purina's America's Country Store here on what I guess it's 6th Street. I always call it Main Street because it's like this main street that goes through town. By the way, it was so cool yesterday to drive under our banner that's right over 6th Street that says Welcome Horses in the Morning. That was pretty cool. I got to say that I enjoyed that. We're going to get our picture in front of the banner if we have to stop traffic today.
Haven't seen it yet, but I'll take your word.
Yeah, we're going to do that. We're at America's Country Store. I am focusing. Larry Loveston is the owner of America's Country Store, and we wanted to thank you so much for allowing us to come in this early in the morning and opening up early and having us here.
Well, thank you for coming.
You have – I love America's Country Stores because they have such a variety of things. She has this little rat she calls a gerbil.
It's a guinea pig.
Guinea pig, that's right. I can never – And
there's a whole section.
There's a whole
there.
Section of guinea pigs.
I said, I'm going to come home with the biggest guinea pig cage ever. It's like going to be a bedroom. They're outside. There's all these huge, wonderful places for well, they're not rats, but they're my pig. But, yeah, a little bit of everything. I noticed that the briar horses are on the wall. And, I mean, what girl? Do you ever grow out of wanting a briar horse when you're a horse girl?
No.
So no, I'm looking back down. All the ornaments, briar ornaments. Yeah, we're going to do some damage, Jennifer. You and those bootcut carrots of yours.
You know what I think it is? I think America's Country Stores just have a feel to them. They feel like the old time, when we used to, and Larry, you're going to appreciate this, when the hardware store used to be in a small building in the middle of town and people actually knew where stuff was and what it did.
Exactly.
That's how I relate this, you know, your store here. Is that the kind of feel you want?
What are you saying to him when you say, you remember what I'm talking about? Are you saying he's old, like you?
Like me. Yeah, like me. See, I can relate to that, too. But I miss those little hardware stores and things.
Well, that's the image we attempted to create, a little bit of everything for everyone. So we have a little bit of hardware, feed, and you can find just about anything you want here.
When we drove into the parking lot, you know, you get out of the car and it's like, hay.
Yeah.
There's hay outside.
There's huge piles of hay. And that's something we're not used to in Lexington because the feed stores, if they have hay, they have 10 bales laying around because that's not where you buy your hay. And it's amazing here. You drive down the road and there's these huge piles of hay by the road. It's not something. Do people buy their main supply of hay from feed stores here?
For the most part, yes.
This is Norco's Country Stores where they get all their stuff.
Now, I have to ask because, you know, one of the favorite topics of conversation on our show by the listeners is how much they're paying for hay around the country. So an average bale of Timothy or...
Oh, Timothy. Timothy, if you can find it, you're talking probably $27, $28 a bale.
Now, are we talking 100-pound bales or are we talking 30-pound bales?
No, we're talking... probably 9,800-pound bales.
That's the way they do it out here. I'm from the East Coast, and that's all I fed was Timothy, and I get out here, and I'm like, yeah, I need some Timothy hay. Everybody laughed at me.
I thought that was just normal because that's what we buy, you know?
Get a second mortgage and get yourself a
load. So is alfalfa actually cheaper here?
Alfalfa is actually cheaper, yes. You can buy alfalfa from $18 to $20 a bale.
And we're talking, again, 100-pound bales. Not like those little wussy East Coast.
60-pound bales.
Just
throw
them around like nothing. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
You know, out here you get a real bale of hay.
Yeah. A real bale of hay that you cannot unload from your truck by yourself. So you can wait
when you weigh 100 pounds, but the bale of hay weighs more than you do.
Yeah, that's how things are. Again, I'm new to the Phoenix area, relatively speaking. So, yeah, the West Coast is definitely different. And the fact that you can get alfalfa that much cheaper. And then you're talking California prices, too. So,
yes.
Southern California prices. Yeah. Again, take out a mortgage for that load of hay, second mortgage. So, Larry, tell us a little bit about how long you've been in this store.
Well, we built this store in 2001, but we've been in business for the past 17 years. We were down the street about four blocks. We started down there. About 6 years, we outgrew that place and then built this store from the ground up.
Nice.
So with the help of Purina, we have what you see today, America's Country Store.
Well, a beautiful store it is, and we'd like to bring over Lisa, who is responsible for getting us into your fabulous store. She's coming over right now.
It's a little early for everybody here. We've gotten everybody up a little bit early this morning. Come on in here, about 2 inches from the mic there, Lisa. Good morning, Lisa. Lisa is from First Time Events. Thank you. So I posted a picture on our Facebook page this morning of us in front of palm trees.
Palm trees, that's right.
That's right. That's the first thing I did is we took a picture in front of palm trees. It's what you do when you go to Florida or California.
Yes, and we talked about the sunshine. You were very happy about that, too.
And I see you're wearing your coolest white cowboy boots this morning.
Oh, absolutely. White and green. I didn't get the Santa hat on, though. But Larry's taking care of the red, so we're all good.
Lisa, thank you so much for all the work you've put into having us come out here to Norco. We truly appreciate it. Thank you for the party last night and the goodie baskets. She put everything in those goodie baskets.
I know.
There was everything in there.
I ate till midnight. I get the hotel bed, I can even this one. Cracker crumbs everywhere. Yeah.
I got your 5-hour energy. In
there. I noticed that. I did notice that. You do listen, Lisa. I got to tell you. So now you have every minute of every day planned for us from here on out. Today we're going to do a little riding and...
Yeah.
What else is on the agenda for today here in Norco? You don't remember, do you?
I don't remember. It's dark outside, Glenn. I keep on telling you that. It's Western
Welcome
Star.
To our world.
I know. I know.
Lisa, would you sign the petition to make our show later, please? The West Coast time. I'm this time 9 months.
So far, there's one signature, Jamie.
Yeah. I'll join you, Jamie, on
right.
that one. Okay.
Woo, everybody in here is signed. Love it.
Well, we are looking forward to our stay here, and I know you have lots of fun things planned, and we've met a lot of cool people here in Norco already, some of which we're going to interview here very shortly. So.
That's right. Well, thank you again for coming, and thank you very much, Larry, for making your facility available for us. And I was hoping to see a little bit of our outer-reaching area people to join us this morning for your Horse Radio Network guests and friends. So, but we'll catch them tomorrow.
Okay.
All right.
Well, they're listening.
All right.
They're home in their pajamas.
That's
like,
right.
Like apparently Jamie wants to be. You know, tomorrow you could come in your pajamas if you want. It'd be like home.
I know. Don't ruin this. I really get dressed up super fancy for my show.
Yeah.
Starts at 6 in the morning for me, too. So, no, I don't. I wear my pajamas.
No, we could do a pajama party on Friday.
Oh, there you go. Dress down Friday.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
We'll make all the guests come.
Casual Friday.
Casual Friday.
Our casual is pajamas and slippers.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thank you, Larry.
We appreciate it. We have we do have some music coming up a little later on today's show. I wanted to say we have Paul Justin here, who we actually played on Monday morning to give you a little taste of Paul. He is going to play a couple of songs for us later today live right here on the air, which we don't have the opportunity to do ever.
We've never had anybody live, and he's cute, too, so that works for everybody.
And he's now blushing.
And he just left. Okay. Sorry.
And he is part of a group called Paul Justin and the Saloontics.
Saloontics.
Saloontics. That's right. Boy, how many times is that mispronounced? Almost every time, Paul. Yeah, I thought so. So we have a couple of guests waiting to come on here this morning, and I wanted to get the equine dentist on here, and his name is Brian Borg. He's an equine dentist here. You need to be 2 inches away from the mic. Equine dentist here in Norco. And one of the statistics, see if I get this right, Lisa, is that Norco has 33,000 horses and 20-some thousand people. Am I close? So there's a lot more horses than people in this town. So if you're going to be a dentist, you're better off being a horse dentist than a people dentist.
I would think so, yes.
I actually work
a wide area. Norco, I do a good majority of my business here, but I go anywhere from San Diego to Santa Barbara. So I have about a 150-mile radius of travel.
Where are you from?
Australia, originally.
Oh, my God, I love that accent.
Yeah.
You've got cute musicians. You have lofty guys. You're all set up here this morning.
It's a great day.
So now you tell us a little bit about, seeing we're in Norco here,
right.
Tell us a little bit about, from your perspective, how different this town is.
I love it. I didn't live in Norco originally with horses. I lived in Hacienda Heights, which is about 60 miles away from here. And there was a lot of upscale homes, and some people had horses, and a lot of people just had big properties with no horses on them. But then I moved to the Riverside area, and I didn't really know about Norco when I moved to Riverside. Because I was, again, 60 miles away at that time. This is about 15, 16 years ago. And then I came into Norco to buy some products, and I thought, wow, this place is really different. And just like you guys were saying earlier, everywhere you go, there's horse trails. There's every property pretty much has horses, and everyone is horse-friendly. You know, you have a conversation with anyone in any store, and pretty much you can have a good conversation about horses because we're all like-minded people. So it's really good. I really love it.
Yeah, all these people in the same place. I love it. I love this town already. I want to move here. So what exactly brought you from Australia to to California. Was it dentistry? Did you?
No, no. I have been
a woman. I'm guessing a woman.
That had something.
Ah, it's always a girl.
It always is a girl.
I was actually traveling with a friend of mine from Germany. We were traveling for a couple of years. We were just traveling and seeing the world, so to speak, you know, young and
being a bum, backpacking around.
Kind
yeah.
of that, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Actually, kind of that thing. So, yeah, just enjoying life before you get married and kids and old and all of that. So I came to California, and I was in Huntington Beach, and there's a big equestrian facility there. Went and looked at the horse, hadn't ridden for a couple of years, been out of it for a little while, and met a girl and got married and stayed, pretty much, yeah.
Wow.
So it's like 25 years later. I've been here for 25 years. I just turned 50, so it's been here half my life.
So can you turn on the accent really thick to impress the girls like Jamie?
I kind of really can't. I probably could. But... But
again,
I've actually,
the beers, Glenn, he needs
I
more
ask
beer.
The important questions, by the way.
I toned it down because I couldn't be understood when I was first here. I would, like, go to a drive-thru asking for, you know, a certain item on the menu, and I'd be like, what? Because I'm talking to a microphone, and then I get to the drive-thru, and they could lip-read me, and then they could understand me. But my accent was really thick when I got here.
I got to tell you, if we
I've,
got...
I've Americanized it.
If we got you and Tammy, our co-host on the Western show, together, because she's Australian, and now she has an Australian Southern Texas accent.
Oh, that's scary.
And we got... If yours would get thicker, I bet, if you were talking to her.
If, yeah, when yeah. I'm talking to other Aussies, it definitely it tunes up.
Yeah. By the way, the Australian Southern Texas accent's kind of cool. It's really cool hearing the Australian accent say y'all. All the time.
trying to pull off an American
yeah,
slang.
Yeah. So tell us, too, you have horses.
Yes.
Tell us about your horses.
Okay. What my primary focus is, I was formerly a certified riding instructor. I used to teach professionally. That's what I did in Huntington Beach. I'm a carded horse judge. And
a what judge?
A carded.
Okay.
Carded judge.
See, there's that accent.
Yeah.
Okay.
And and I do the equine dentistry, but I don't ride three-day eventing anymore, which is what I used to do, but I'm still interested in the sport and in the whole industry. We have an American Shetland pony, and he recently passed a Kuring from Germany. The German judges came out, and he passed a Kuring, and we're going to get him.
Which means what for our listeners?
A Kuring is basically they look at a horse and say, is this horse breed worthy? Is this stallion an inspection? They put him through walk, trot, canter. They have them running free, Liberty, and they put him through a jump shoot where they do a couple of singles and an oxer, and they basically grade him on the overall look, performance, that type of thing. And once you get a Kuring, it's just for the person who's thinking of breeding to your pony, it's no guesswork because the horse has scores, and it shows that the horse is definitely breed worthy. So we got Studbooks Premium 1, which is the highest rating we can get. Now, the American Shetland pony, the one we have, Michigan's Majestic, he is by the number one producing stallion in the country, which is Michigan's Heartbreaker. And there's a pony that was on the Olympic team called Theodore O'Connor.
Teddy.
Yeah,
Teddy
O'Connor.
Is he a Briar? Is he on the wall back there?
That he needs to be.
He,
yeah, a phenomenal little pony.
Buy it now. That's what I'm saying. Sorry, go ahead.
Definitely a phenom. Anyway, so Teddy O'Connor was on the Olympic team, and he's a little, I think it's 14-3 pony that was just
Karen O'Connor's a horse.
Yeah, yep. Unbelievable little three-day eventer. To be on the Olympic team, you have to beat out all these thoroughbreds and warm bloods. And at 14-3 to do that, I thought was incredible. So the different thing about him, he was a American Shetland, Arabian, and thoroughbred mix. That was a combination of his breeding. Well, there's been a lot of Anglo-Arabs around that have not done that. So my wife and I, our thinking was the American Shetland had to have something to do with that for him to be as good as he was. And our stallion... We look back on Teddy O'Connor's background. The Shetland that he's from is exactly the same bloodlines that we have, but ours is actually four times line bred, so it's even tighter. So we, our endeavor now is to breed sport ponies using our Shetland stallions, to thoroughbreds, to warm bloods, probably running quarter horses, anything that we see, any mares that we see that might be a suitable cross, and then they can be registered and hopefully produce something similar to Teddy.
You know,
it's a tall order, but that's what we're trying to do.
You know, with the economy being the way it is, the one area that's still doing pretty well is that sport pony.
Yeah.
That's an area that people will still pay money for those horses.
Well, sports ponies are interesting because it's a wide cross-section. You find people want them for their children. A lot of riders who are as they're getting a little older, they don't want the really big horse. They'd rather something a little smaller. And Majestic, our stallion we have, he's got a rock-solid temperament, which is critical. If he didn't have a good temperament, regardless of looks or whatever, I wouldn't use him. He acts like a gelding. He's super, super mellow, and that's important and athletic. So if you can get a small pony that's very easy to handle and has a working attitude, I think you've got something that might really work.
Yeah.
That's what we're aiming for.
Well, good luck with that.
That's fantastic.
Do you have a website or anything for people to see it?
Yeah, we didn't talk about dentistry at all because
I know.
We're horse people. We talk about horses.
I do have a website for my dentistry, and we are working one on the horse. My Advanced Equine Dental is my company name for the dentistry, and it's advancedequinedental.com.
Okay.
So through that, people can get in contact with me. There's phone numbers and email and all that good stuff. So definitely.
We have about 2 minutes. Tell us what is new in dentistry? What is the newest thing?
Thank you for that question because it's a really good one.
Okay.
For many, many years, people looked at dentistry as just getting a file and rasping off some sharp points. Well, if you think about it, the sharp points in a horse's mouth are really the size of their teeth, and there's not the occlusal surface where the teeth meet to come together to grind the food. Files were all that were really available for the longest time. Now they are motorized equipment. It's basically a tool with a diamond disc that grinds the occlusal surface itself. So we're not just doing points anymore. We're actually doing the chewing surface itself and recorrecting that. Because if you don't correct the chewing surface, there's not going to really be a lot of dentistry as far as benefiting the horse. There's minimal benefit to just filing points off. So the motorized equipment has allowed us to do things that we couldn't do before. And there's also the International Association of Equine Dentists. Equine dentistry, they have really led the way in education as far as teaching people how to do it properly.
Well, good luck with you and the pony and the dentistry and everything.
I'm sure you stay
really busy.
Yeah,
I have one last question before we let you go. When you were traveling around with the German girl and you met the American girl.
No, I was traveling with a friend from Germany who was a guy. That would have cramped my style, traveling with a girl.
Can you imagine that poor girl?
No.
I came here to America with a guy, and he messed up with a girl. I wanted to
drama. It wasn't one of that. I just said, man, here's my drinking buddy.
Well, you know what,
my liver survived it.
In small towns like this, there are, I'm sure, the rumor mill works in this town.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's adding to it.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
By the time we leave, everybody's going to be in trouble in
America. Yeah, exactly. That's okay. That's a good thing.
Thank you, Brian, so much. It is advancedequinedental.com.
Correct.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. We're going to take a little musical break here, and then we're going to talk about the FFA, which is something that we don't talk about enough, on any of our shows, actually. So, we have a guest here who's actually the ag teacher for the FFA and apparently pretty popular in town. So we're going to find out why. More rumors. But, Paul, come on over. We have Paul Justin here. Have a seat, Paul. So, Paul, how long have you been playing music?
Jeez, I haven't heard that question in a while. Probably about 27, 28 years.
Wow.
Since you were about four.
Four, yeah.
Yeah.
I wish that I was actually, I'm a little older than I look. But about 11 years old, I started playing. So.
And this particular group, the Paul Justin and the Salunatics, how long have you been together?
6.5 years.
I'll tell you what, Lisa, who organized this all for us, absolutely loves you guys. She's heard you play. She can't understand. She said it 50 times yesterday. I can't understand why these guys are big time. And I said, well, you know, when they're big time, they're never going to talk to anybody in Norco again. So
that absolutely isn't true. I love Norco. It is my own.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, prove it.
It's my new hometown, even though I didn't grow up here.
And you have horses, too.
Yes.
Yeah,
I have a bay mare.
Let me ask you, this is a question for the room. Does anybody in Norco not have a horse?
Yeah.
Do you make fun of them all the time? Okay. Question answered. Well, Paul, what are you going to play for us this morning?
Appropriately, I figured that I should play a song about a horse. So,
this
is a song I wrote with a friend of mine from Hawthorne, Nevada, where I grew up. It's called Powder River, and it's about a bucking horse.
Oh, okay. You're kind of horse, Jamie.
Enough. I just got buck off once recently, okay? All right, thanks, Paul.
All right, Paul.
Was a stout-chested sorrel, outlaw blood in his veins. Got no use for the saddle and even less for the reins. He was wide as a mountain and stood 18 hands high. There was no way to break him, it was useless to try. So we put him to bucking, bareback in a rodeo string, where his unbridled spirit soon proved to pack quite a sting. For many would mount him, but none ever would be paid. In 10 years of bucking, not one official ride had been made. He was born in the middle of a big country squall, bucking and snorting, never an inkling to crawl. Cowboy mount up and grip that rigging tight, pull the gate away he goes, prepare yourself for a fight. Let him buck, let him buck, Powder River was his name. Many a cowboy tossed in the dirt to his shame. He was put out to pasture with 1,000 men's pride, and he lived there and bothered until the day that he died. And for the horse we called Powder River, not a single cowboy would mourn, for he lived life just as free as the day he'd been born. Destined for a rodeo life, running wild as the western breeze, living for the cowboy show, putting down the greatest of ease. He was born in the middle of a big country squall, bucking and snorting, never an inkling to crawl. Cowboy mount up and grip that rigging tight, pull the gate away he goes, prepare yourself for a bite. Let him buck, let him buck, Powder River was his name. Many a cowboy tossed in the dirt to his shame. Many a cowboy tossed in the dirt to his shame.
Nice, and that ain't easy to do at 6 o'clock in the morning.
I know. Bless your heart for coming out here and wailing like that.
I think he's the only musician in the country up right now.
I gotta ask, is Powder River a real horse? I mean, have you been bucked off by him?
No, I'm not crazy enough to get on anything that would buck me off. Or that'd be the intention, is
yeah.
Try to stay on it, you know,
yeah.
Long enough.
Accidents happen, you know.
Almost been thrown, but not on a bucking horse per se.
Okay.
So, this friend of mine actually worked on a ranch around my hometown. There are several cattle ranches, and they would sit around the campfire at night and tell stories. And they invented this horse, Powder River.
Yeah.
So.
Well,
that's where it came from.
Fantastic job. Love the song. And we're going to have Paul back a little bit later. Of course, if you want to check him out, pauljustin.com. It's Paul Justin and the Salunatics. Thank you very much for coming by. And we'll talk. We'll see you again in about half an hour.
Okay. Thank you.
Stay warm.
All right. Our next guest up here is Robin. And I am going to have to ask her how to say her last name. Is it Gunmeyer?
Grundmeyer.
Grundmeyer. Okay. I missed a few letters in your last name there.
That's okay.
Now, Lisa said we have to have one person on the show, and that is the ag teacher who's in charge of the FFA. Is that right?
Yes, one of them. There's three of us.
So is the FFA huge out here?
In California, yeah. Definitely. And in Norco, we have about 350 members at the high school.
Wow.
And in Southern California, we're about average size for a chapter. So
wow.
Yeah.
So how many people in the school?
About 2,200 students.
2,200.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big percentage.
Yeah, we have our fair share, definitely. So
I was not – we didn't have that in Atlanta. We did not have an FFA. We did not have
– Really?
Oh, yeah. No. I grew up, like, it's kind of the hood.
Well, you didn't have FFA in the hood?
Farmers of America in the hood. It was like, hey, here's how to not get shot. No, just kidding. Not bad. Kind of bad. So for those who don't know, like me, I didn't grow up with it, what is the FFA?
The FFA is a national student leadership organization that is run through agricultural education nationwide. And the goal is really to provide students with a well-rounded education, looking at career development, leadership development, and giving them the opportunity to actually have some hands-on experience in that area.
Okay, so FFA stands for, it still stands for Future Farmers
of America. It does. It's still Future Farmers of America. The national organization made the change to National FFA a few years ago just because a lot of people had the misconception that we're just a bunch of farmers. Our students today study floral design, science, ag mechanics, horticulture, landscape, all different types of things. So the organization made that change to make it kind of more clear to people that we're not just a bunch of farmers anymore.
Yeah, I wouldn't take you as a farmer.
No, not so much.
Well, now, can I ask you? Yeah, oh. Okay. So I assume in Norco you have a higher percentage of your FFAers that are actually in the equine that have horses.
Yeah, several of our students do have horses. Some students are involved in high school rodeo, junior rodeo, and do a lot of those types of activities. And then even the kids that have the horses will have other what we call SAE projects or supervised agricultural experiences. And so kids you'll see they'll be involved in multiple things, and most of the time that does include their horses as well.
So of what are the animal categories, I guess? I mean, like I know with 4-H they do the little small stock and they do the horses and there's like pigs and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly does FFA encompass?
When we have our kids on their projects, we have all the typical livestock. We have kids that can raise steers and pigs and lambs and goats, the typical kind of stuff. And then we also have kids that work. We have a full running flower shop at the high school that the kids work in. We have a nursery and a greenhouse where kids are raising plants and trees and shrubs. We have worm beds and composting and really just a huge variety of projects for our students to get involved in.
So can I come and sit in on that plant class? Because I kill everything that's in my yard. I don't know how it happens. I mean, I plant a tomato plant.
Could it be that it's 120 degrees every day in your house?
Could be. I try to protect it from the direct sun. Yeah, maybe that's the problem. I don't know. What? Yeah, the gophers have taking their fair share.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks, Lisa, for reminding me that. I thought I was gopher free here.
No, we have them too.
Okay. So as an FFA teacher, what do you suggest? No, I'm just kidding.
You can come by the ag department and Mr. Rich Arts, our horticulture teacher, would be happy to talk to you.
He has a gun.
We have these special traps that we use.
All right. So we've been told you're like the most popular teacher at the school. Or
I don't know. I might take a close second to the football coach. We'll see.
So is that what? Why is that?
Football's pretty serious in this town too. So we were in the playoffs for the 25th year in a row this year. So
oh my
wow.
gosh,
yeah, Norco is pretty big on their high school football
too.
You've got
horse kids. You've got, you know, like
hey, they're corn fed. Yeah,
that's right.
Corn fed farm
that's
horse
true.
Football.
The same way I grew up in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, and we always had a good football team because you know they could throw hay bales all day
that's
long.
That's right. Those 100-pound bales, the girls
that's
and
right.
the boys can move
that's
those things
right.
around here. So,
do you have horses?
We do. I have one horse and one little pony for my boys.
And trail ride around town? And
when I get the time, my job keeps me pretty busy, so most of the time our horse is being ridden by one of our students so she can get out and get ridden. So
that qualify as a ranchette, one horse and one pony?
Yes, that's one and a half horses. That's correct.
Okay. Just keeping up with it here, trying to focus.
So you're allowed to put the sign out?
Yes. Okay. Yes,
right.
Thank you.
All right, good. Well, thank you so much for joining us here today. What's the name of the school?
Norco High School.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. And does your program have a website, or is it all just part of the
website? You can go to the Norco High School website, and if you Google Norco
okay.
High School, it'll be on there. And we have a whole section for the ag department. We have about 8 acres over at the high school with all the facilities and stuff. So you guys are more than welcome to stop by.
Well, you know,
for
8 acres in this town is
that's
like
a
super rich. That's right.
Yes. So, please feel free to stop by while you're in town. We'd love to have you.
Well, thank you so much, Robin. We really appreciate
you
being here. We have more guests coming up here very shortly, but first we have to take a break for one of our sponsors today, and that is FeedXL. So we're going to be right back from Norco, from America's Country Store, in just a moment.
Poor Gypsy is suffering from horse envy. He's the new kid in the pasture and can't get over the stamina and shape of his fellow stallmates. Rumors around the barn point to FeedXL. Seems their owner has been online and discovered the FeedXL nutrition tool. That means Gypsy's in for a big transformation. The other horses have been telling Gypsy all about the changes made to their diet and how FeedXL has improved their overall well-being. When it comes to your horse's diet, conflicting advice can result in overfeeding and money wasted. With a FeedXL nutrition tool, enter your horse's weight, diet, and activity level to get started. It'll allow you to see where your horse's diet stands and give you the opportunity to revise it until it's balanced. FeedXL has the latest science backing them up, allowing you to take charge of your horse's diet with an easy-to-use nutrition tool, taking the guesswork out of what to feed your horse. It's almost like Gypsy has his own personal nutritionist right at the barn. Visit FeedXL.com for a simple and easy nutrition tool to balance your horse's diet for optimum health.
Well, thank you, everybody, for being here. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. We are live in Norco, California, at Purina's America's Country Store. And we have a rep here from Purina, Rebecca Nunes. Okay.
Yep.
And you are part of the Land O'Lakes family. And we, again, thank you so much, too, for having us out. How many of these America's Country Stores are there in California?
Actually, there are only two America's Country Stores in California, and there are about 150 or so dealers who sell our products throughout California, but America's Country Stores, the franchising idea that we had, didn't work well in California. California is hard to do business in California for lots of reasons.
Shocking.
So we couldn't ever get the full franchising idea done. So all of our America's Country Stores, the two that we do have, one here in Norco, and the one in, Lakeport, California, are both actually independently owned by their owners, and they just use the name America's Country Store.
Is there like a battle between, we are America's Country Store. No, we are.
No, not really.
Hashtag.
Most of them actually have a sub-name, either it'd be an E-Feed or, that was done here for a while, and then normally they name the town Norco.
Okay.
Whatever the town name is, kind of becomes the America's Country Store. But across the nation, I think there are something like 30 or 40 of them. But Purina has helped many dealers get into stores like this, as well as build their own name brand stores. And we have close to 3,000 or 4,000 independent dealers of our products across the country. And that's what makes our products nice, is because people who travel often with their horses can get our products anywhere. And that makes it really nice, and we have a pretty consistent brand across the nation and quality of products.
That's exactly what I was talking to the Purina girl about before. I moved from Georgia, and I didn't have to change my feed. Is it true that, I heard this rumor, that you cannot sell Purina feed at one store, the next store has to be 20-something miles away?
Not quite 20 miles away. It used to be that way. There's not a specific mileage that you have to be, but in the olden
days,
into the
feed business.
I could find something.
I just drive so darn far to get my feed, and they said it's because there's somebody 20 miles away sells the feed, and so I think I'm centrally located, so it's about
It's not particularly that there's a mileage type thing, but we do try and find business partners that will work with us and be good representatives of our products. So. Sometimes every market's a little different. In some markets I work in Southern California, where I'm based, I have dealers that are within 2 miles of each other, literally across the street.
But because we are in Southern California, it takes her 2 hours to get between them.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. But because, we have so many people here, our population is so dense, it can handle a lot more stores. But here in Norco, for example, there are, I think, 4 or 5 different feed stores on the street alone. But we only have one Purina dealer, and that's just to protect the market and to keep keep things going. But it's different in every market.
So Larry doesn't get mad at you.
Yeah, so Larry doesn't get mad at me.
That's the reason, yeah.
But there's lots of business to be had, and there's lots of competition and lots of different products. So we want to make sure to get our products out everywhere we can.
Well, the feed store that's a mile away, I'm going to put you in touch with them.
Okay, great. We'll get right on it. I know the rep there very well. Actually, Stephanie McLean is the rep in your area, and she used to work this area. She helped Larry open the store up.
You have to understand, though, if Jamie has to leave the driveway, it's too far.
I can't drive my Gator there.
Hermit.
Don't come to Southern California, because I don't drive very many miles per se, but I spend a lot of time in the car.
Oh. Yeah.
So I can, you know, it took me an hour or two to get here, and that's without any traffic. You know, so a typical day, if I'm out on the road, I might.
We have something for you to do.
Hours.
You
yeah.
can listen to our shows.
I'm
going to
do that. Absolutely.
In the car.
That would be wonderful.
A lot of people do that. We met a big list fan last night who actually listens in the car for her travel. Started listening to Helene and I in the Stable Scoop show 3 years ago. She's going to be on the show with us tomorrow morning.
I think now that she's met us, she's not going to come. It's all right. We understand.
That's why we don't encourage listeners to actually meet us.
No, but that
just ruins
like
the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll get all my Purina reps on board to be listening on their
there you go.
Around town.
Everywhere. You have quizzes at the end of the week.
Now, yep, who do they have on Tuesday? We do have these CDs that our company sends us called Drive Time CDs, and they talk about products and things we're supposed to be selling. So we can add this to the list.
Well, like Drive Time Spanish.
I
bought that. Yeah, see.
It's all indoctrination, right?
So now you're all of Southern California then, right?
Uh-huh.
How many towns, you run into a lot of little towns, obviously this horse is all over Southern California, but is there any other town that really is quite like Norco?
Absolutely not. There is no other town like Norco in, you know, all of California and probably all of the United States.
Yeah, even in Lexington, Kentucky, horse capital of the world, we say, we aren't riding horses down the sidewalk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is unique to see, you know, every one of these buildings has a hitching post out front, and it's not unusual to have horses come up. We have big sales here, you know. And
so do people ride up to the store
and
here?
And ride right up to the store, and there's, you know, hitching posts along every different spot. Next door, you know, that big, what's that big center there with the boot barn? There's this hitching post out front and a big corral out there.
It's sort of like you see the pictures out of India where the guy's riding the horse and there's 50 bags of feed on the back of the horse and they're trying to...
How many horses, now this is probably a question for Larry, how many horses break free and go to that gorgeous alfalfa back there?
I mean, that's my horse, and David's like, I'm out. I'm going to go eat.
I'm sure there have been a few. I've definitely been
that
at
is
least
a good
around
question,
once in a
while. You know, at shows all the time, especially events for some reason, at shows all the time, you have the loose horse get loose. Everybody's screaming loose horse. The horse is running like crazy trying to hit your car that's parked out there in the field, always aiming towards your car.
Yeah.
So do we ever have loose horse problems in this town running down the road? Yes, yes.
Yes, very much so. Not unusual.
I always wondered that.
That's why people drive quite slowly along 6th Street. Cause
except for Lisa. Whatever. She's 90 to nothing. Oh, my God. We get here, I'm like, I'm going to die. For the first 5 minutes of being here.
That's not good at all.
Yeah, all of us horse people say our truck's bigger until the tractor trailer hits us. Yeah. Yeah.
So what?
Okay, we're on radio. They can't hear you. You have to come over here. This is radio.
So while she's coming up, what makes Norco different in your opinion?
Well, it's got to be the people, obviously. That's very important. I think, as Brian said earlier, they're very like-minded people. Everybody loves horses. If you choose to live in this town, it's because you care about animals and horses. And then just like Purina, that's why we wanted to be here, because we believe that animals make better people, and we make better animals. So that's kind of what's going
that.
On
that's
around.
That's a good thing. I like
if
that.
That's not trademarked.
It is one of our trademarks.
It looks like
so,
a slogan or something.
It is. Most of the people who live here really do care about animals, and that's what makes living in this town so unique and wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Lisa, what were you going to add?
I think the biggest shock that me and my husband had when we moved here is when we saw the team hitched up to a wagon picking up the load of hay.
That's fantastic. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what makes Norco very unique is we're really in the middle of, an L.A. suburb, if you think about it. Riverside is not too far from L.A. I mean, so if everything you see on TV, you know, all over the country, you see the city, you see the gangs, you see everything. Norco's like its own little conclave in the middle of it. It's really a unique place.
It really is. I mean, driving in here, coming from Phoenix, I just drove my truck and I hit LA traffic. I'm like, you've got to be, I'm going to a horse town and I'm stuck in 5 o'clock traffic going down the road. I mean, it was insanity.
Yeah.
And I pull off and, hey, wait, this is like a little small town. We, you know, like I said, we went to dinner at Lisa's last night and there's people riding down the street and zebras and trailers. I mean, just craziness.
Yeah. I mean, Southern California is the sixth largest per capita for horses in the United States.
I didn't know that.
People wouldn't know that, but it is the sixth largest.
What's the largest?
I would say somewhere in Kentucky, but I don't know the answer. Okay. Texas, okay. Probably, okay. One of those two. And California's second for states with horses. So it's a large population, a lot of horses here, but they're hidden in small communities. And no community is like Norco when you can just go up and down the street with your
And it's a majority Western English?
You know, it just depends on the market. In Del Mar, down in deeper Southern California, San Diego, a lot of English riders, a lot of racetracks. I've got several different barns down there that are dressage. Stefan Peters, he's
never heard of him.
Never heard of him. He's based out of San Diego.
He's that little horse named Ravel or something.
Exactly. Yeah. So he's down there out of San Diego and has a training barn there. And one of our ambassadors, Mandy Porter, she's a jumper.
And I think Gina Miles is here somewhere.
There's several different riders here. So a lot of people based there.
A few Olympians hanging out in California.
Just a few. So we're pretty lucky to work with all of them all over the place.
Well, y'all do a great job sponsoring, you know, and helping these riders out. And I mean, my coach is in a small farm in Scottsdale. I mean, she's fantastic. If she's listening, she's the greatest rider in the world. But she's sponsored by you guys.
Oh,
and, you know, every horse trial, the big Purina banners have to go up. And,
right.
And it's good to be a part of that. And, you know, as somebody who sees how hard she works, it's nice to see that you guys are there supporting.
Well, we've been around for over 100 years, obviously, and our checkerboard brand is very popular and well-known, and we spend a lot of time, I think you talked to Amber last week, about our research that we go do about our products and making sure we get the best products for the animal, not just horses. You know, we do a whole show line of feed for the 4-H and FFA kids who are showing their animals. You saw the different...
They get a younger feed?
They do get a specific feed for showing animals that's different than... you know, an animal that you might just breed to eat, you know, a cattle, for example, because it's more how they look. You judge them how
That's
they
right.
look, not how
right.
they taste in that case. So with the cattle.
That's a good thing. Trying to change that in this country again. But we're...
Yeah, exactly. That new
I'm
legislation.
I'm a vegetarian. This one looks better, but this one tastes better. Really?
But we have all different types of animal feeds. We actually also have a Missouri line of feed, which does about 99% of the zoos in the United States. So that's where you have stuff like monkey chow and...
Dominique buys her food, that particular line of food, I'm sure.
Yeah, and so, you know, guinea pig food you can get in the Missouri line, llamas, alpacas, zebras. So
I think your guinea pig should be sponsored by Purina.
Yeah, that's going to happen. I need a handful of feed a month.
I know. It doesn't take much. It doesn't take much for those animals.
I don't know. That big crate you were looking at out there, that big cage. Well,
yeah.
Thank you so much.
Oh,
we
gosh,
really appreciate you
me.
Being here. And
is it true? Hold on. Oh, yeah. Dominique told me about this. I said, you guys have kangaroo chow?
Yes, we do.
That is, I've never
we
seen
We have everything
before.
From insectivore or insecticide diets all the way to zebras and everything in between.
I guess
so,
bugs got to eat, too.
Elephant chow, I work with the SeaWorld and Wild Animal Park and do lots of wild animals there.
Oh, how cool is that?
So they have these special vitamin tablets that they feed the whales so that they don't have issues with their eyes, cataracts in their eyes in the water. So, yeah, there's lots of different products.
How do whales survive in the wild?
I don't know how they do it. They try. It's impossible to believe.
Without their cataract medicine.
Exactly.
I don't know how they do it.
So, yeah, we definitely do lots of different animals. And like I said, it's all about the animals for us and making sure that they have the best quality of life possible with their human.
Give that slogan one more time, please.
All right. Yeah. Well, animals make better people, and we make better animals.
Yeah.
Yay!
Love it. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for joining us.
Thank you. Have
and,
a good day.
Yeah, we'll be talking to you soon. I did bring my truck. I am out of feed, and so I figured I'd go ahead and get a load while I was here. Chad's like, why don't you take the Audi? I'm like, because I need feed. How am I going to bring it back in your car?
Well, I want to bring our next guest over, but we're gonna play a song in the middle of I want to introduce you first, but if you can hang around till after the song is done, too, then we'll We want to talk with you some more. This is Dr. Jennifer Wells, who we've had on our show, a couple of weeks ago?
I think October 5th.
October? Yeah. She remembers exactly. Hi, Dr. Wells.
Good morning.
What fun. We got to meet Dr. Wells last night at the party, and she's already wanting to crack my bones.
I offered. Well, he wanted to get
laid down. Let's do it.
That always makes good radio, too. The
and then
screaming.
My friends have funny slogans, too. They all come in, you know, because when we were deciding a name for my
practice. By the way, Dr. Wells is a chiropractor. Let's clarify that. Yeah, so before we go
the
much further.
Yeah,
she's a people chiropractor and a horse.
I got certified to do horses, but I don't do horses. Okay. I just refer to people who, you know, went to school and actually.
You do all the riders who get hurt on the horses.
Exactly.
Which should be a lot of them in this town.
Yeah, so the little slogan my girlfriend Molly came up with was, if your back got bucked off a bronc, bring your back to back country.
Say that five times.
I know, it is kind of tongue-twisty, isn't it?
And you're...
Backcountry
chiropractor.
Yeah, and it's, you know, I'm right across the street from that big tie-up at Boot Barn and Rodeo Burger, and so I have a lot of patients who actually ride their horses and then
really?
Walk across the street and get adjusted.
How many
yeah.
chiropractors can say that?
How
country?
Cool is that?
I don't
well,
know.
I don't like their boots when they come in after that, but oh well.
Back to that slogan, I think we can get Paul Justin to put that to music and
that
could be your commercial.
Oh, yeah, I got
a little jingle, you know.
We have some cool ones.
All right, so we have a song to play, and then we'll come back and talk. What are you doing? You're not focused.
Well, Jennifer's interrupting me. It wasn't my fault this time.
Me bad.
Sorry. Jennifer, we're going to have Paul come on over here. He's going to play us another song, and we're going to talk to Jennifer some more. Today, sponsors for all of today's show is America's Country Store, of course, where we're broadcasting from now, Purina, the Backcountry Chiropractic. Thank you much for being a sponsor, for helping us get out here, and the All-American Trailer Company as well here. They sell trailers in town, so I think we might have passed that, actually, yesterday. I think we passed everything in Norco yesterday, actually. So, Paul, what do you have for us this time?
This is actually not a horse song. Not all my songs.
Is it a love song?
Oh, no. Are you going to sing it with
right
an? Are you going to sing it with an Australian accent?
No. I can try in English, however.
Okay, sure. That works.
This is a song actually I wrote with a couple of friends, and it is a love song. So the story behind the song is I was dating a girl at the time, and we were going to go out, and she was what. Asked me one question. What does every girl ask a question? What should I wear?
Of course. We discussed it.
So that's where the first line of the song came from. So you
right
understand.
On.
It's all about what girls wear.
Just try to listen, Glenn.
Possibly.
Follow along.
I'm paying attention now. You don't pay attention there.
You can wear whatever you want to, as long as you're with me, I don't mind. We can talk about tomorrow, right now let's talk about tonight. Wrap your loving arms around me and pull me in with those big green eyes. Baby, I can hold you close forever. Take a slow ride, run it around your soul. Around your soul. Baby, your kiss is like a slice of heaven. Dancing on my lips, just give it a try, let's go. Baby, let's go. A little bit of love, and passion, no pain. Holding you close is my everything. Baby, I... You can pull off the road if you want to. Take turns looking at the stars.
can dance under the moonlight while I wrap my arms around your heart. We can just sit and talk a while. As long as you're with me, I don't mind. Cause baby, I could hold you close forever. Take a slow ride, running around your soul. Around your soul. Cause baby, your kiss is like a slide to heaven. Dancing on my lips, just give it a try, let's go. Baby, let's go. Little bit of love, that's no pain. Holding you close is my everything. Baby, around your soul. You can wear whatever you want to. As long as you're with me, baby, I don't mind.
I do not want to know what happened after you played that song to that girl. I mean, you play a song like that for a woman, she's going to marry you. Right? Oh, well, that was fantastic.
Thank you very much.
PaulJustin.com if you want to find any of his music. Check him out. Definitely go. And if you're at a rodeo or you're seeing it's Paul Justin and the Salunatics.
Well, thank you so much, Paul. We really appreciate you being here today
thank
and singing live for us. Do you mind if we play some of your music in the future here in the show?
Absolutely not. You may play any of it.
We play that song every day. I like it.
You can tell what her favorites are, can't you?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Paul. We really appreciate you being here. Well, Jennifer, now you have an interesting story in that you're not just a people chiropractor. You just don't break bones for a living. you actually
adjust, Glenn. Adjust.
Yeah. Breaking, no good.
No.
No. Oh, okay. Sorry, I got that wrong. So now you have horses, and
yes.
We're going to get to meet some of those.
Oh yes, hopefully.
So tell us about
it's not too windy. I mean, it's supposed to be like 80 mile per hour winds
really?
Coming up. So yeah.
Hey.
Maybe we'll have to, like, do a lunchtime carriage ride today.
No, we just get bucked off and come to your office.
I don't want to be in there being bucked off, too.
But you were part of, and we've had you on the show because
yes.
of your mule, Jester, who
yes.
is probably the coolest mule in the country.
He is pretty cool.
And you were part of the TV, the act, the show that
yes,
was
America's Favorite Trail Horse, which actually the final aired last night.
And you didn't win...
I did not win my episode. I heard it was close, and even the lady who won my episode is on the ACTA Facebook saying, really, I won? Because that mule was really, really cute, which he is. He's very special. But they said it was close, and whatever that means, I'm just happy to have participated on a mule that couldn't even be touched or caught 3 years ago
wow.
to go compete on a national level. And to actually do very, very well and even better than some of the finalists that made it is, you know, and I'm just really excited with how far that mule has come. And we have so much more to learn and do and other things to explore. He just really likes doing obstacles with me, and I feel really safe on him. And I just really enjoy
riding
him.
In the wind.
I can ride him in the wind. I mean, there's times where I'm riding around Norco and there's bags or the last big thing in the wind was this huge chunk of styrofoam that was just going tick, 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 down the road. And I think his ear deviated for like a half a second and then back forward because he just likes to go on trail and like to take me out. And I feel safe with him all the time. And I really, really enjoy riding him. And then I have Hofflinger horses. He's a Hofflinger mule. And I have Hofflinger horses, and we carriage drive them and ride them as well. And we have Jester's half-sister, Spice Girl, as well.
Spice Girl?
Yes. She's really cute. She's really cute. She's tiny, though. She's like 13 hams, and she has the same face and is just a really cute, adorable little mule. And she saw me doing trick training with one of my Hofflingers. I taught him the bow and smile, and the gentleman that taught Jester to initially ride taught her to smile as well. But when she saw me teaching another horse to bow, she wanted to do it, and she just started like doing her own little bow thing just from watching. It's really interesting how smart some of the mules are.
Well, speaking of intelligence here, when we mentioned the loose horse thing, you lit up like a Christmas tree. So you have a story.
Have one little story. Now, before Next Door was built, where Boot Barn, Rodeo Burger, and that whole center was built, I was riding a mare that I was feed leasing, and I was ponying Roland's horse, and I was they used to have like this little dirt like a little circle, and people can canter and do different things, and I picked up a little canter, and I hadn't cantered her in a while, and she bucked out a little bit and hit Wyatt, and that just set him off. And then there was another lady in there that wasn't really an experienced rider, and her horse popped up. She let go of him, and now I have a running horse, and now my horse is cantering and starting to buck me. And I decided I'm going to jump off, because it was about the fifth buck and I was getting a little too airborne. So I jumped off and grabbed a rein. But once that horse started running down the street, she just got out of my hands. So now all three horses were running down the street all the way down to Circle K. And, you know, it's embarrassing, but it's a common thing that happens now and then.
Not
and,
something you hear often.
Yeah.
You just bucked me off and ran down to the Circle K.
You wanted a big, I wanted a soda or some, you know, corn nuts or something. I'm not really sure.
Just for future reference, because you are a chiropractor, I would like to let you know my theory, and it's what I tell all my students, and I tell everybody that I know about riding a horse, that it is never a good idea to bail. Don't bail, because that will hurt.
I landed on my feet. I didn't really fall. I actually did. It was one of those, like, the perfect, you know, jump off, grab the rein type of thing. But
one in a million.
You know, I was really lucky that time.
He wanted to go.
But everyone down the street, you know, they all slow down.
Well, that's my question. Do the cars slow down when they're on the street?
This is what happens. The cars all slow down, and they stop. And some people get out. Yeah. Some people get out, and then they, you know, flag your horses down, and they're able to stop them. And then, you know, they wait, and other people stop, and they go, get in, I'll drive you down the street. And get your horse and drove me down the street, and you know, I got on the horses and I got back on and rode them home, and then all of a sudden the sheriff comes up and pulls in front of me on the driveway, and I'm like, I don't know, I was starting to panic, my little heart's like, woo, 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 woo. I'm so embarrassed because I wasn't living here at the time, I wasn't a Norconian yet.
That's what I do when a cop pulls me out. Like, sorry, I'm so scary. I don't know what I'm doing, and they're like, oh please, ma'am, just go.
Well, the horse had ran so hard because he's not used to running. He's kind of lazy. He had blood actually streaming out of his nose.
That's
so
good.
He's like, are you okay? Is everyone fine? And I said, yes, everyone's fine. And I'm really sorry. It was just one of those things. And he just said, I just want to make sure everyone's fine.
Do the police in Norco carry halters and lead ropes in their cars?
I have no idea. That's a great question. We should really find that out. That's a good question. They should.
They should. I mean, yeah.
But some of us have them in our trunks or anything. But
yeah. Okay, so now I have to ask, do you have mounted police in Norco?
We don't have mounted police.
No mounted police. In the
police
kind of town, horse town is this?
They just ride.
We have a mounted
We have the
a volunteer.
We have the mounted posse.
We're the mounted posse.
Yeah. The Norco mounted posse.
I think they should be mounted a little more often than they're mounted right now. But, no, they're cool. I mean, they show up to a lot of the functions, and they mount on, you know, when we have functions up here at the Ingalls and Moreno Arena, they do parking control and stuff like that. And that's when they're mounted a lot of the times. But they don't go up and down the street and give tickets too often. But they do. I think they have power.
Is there a speed limit for the horses?
Not for the horses, okay, I don't think. But for the cars, yes.
But you can get a DUI on a horse.
You can get a DUI.
Well,
and
I noticed every pub. See, I'm so used to East Coast. Every bar in town has a hitching post effort.
Yes.
Got to be responsible, Glenn.
But you can get a ticket for parking in the horse trail. I think it's a $250 fine. So, if you park in the horse trail, not a good idea.
Don't
be doing that.
No. Horse trails are special. Hey, we have, hold on one second, Jennifer, because we have an announcement here that we need to make. And I just realized that, Lisa, you're not, because of the way we're set up here, you're not even going to be able to hear Julie. So I'm going to introduce her, and I think I can probably cover your announcement, and hopefully I can get some details from you when we need them. Here, we have a very special guest who has been on the Horse Radio Network many, many times, and she is a good friend of the Horse Radio Network and a friend of ours, and you might recognize her name as Julie Goodnight. Julie, are you there?
I am. Good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Julie. It's so good to talk to you again.
You too.
Well, we have an announcement that they're very excited about here in Norco, and we told them all kinds of good lies about you, so now they're really excited.
Oh, well, good.
That you are actually coming out here next year to Horsetown, USA.
I am. I'm coming to do a horsemanship clinic May 4th and 5th, and it's something we've been trying to get on the books for a few years now and just been having trouble schedule-wise. So we finally got it done and signed, sealed, and delivered, and I will be there for sure in May.
Well, I tell you, Julie, you are going to love this town. You're going to love the people in it. It's a fun place. Now, we just got here yesterday, but we have three or four more days of fun here. They promised riding zebras and camels and maybe some horses. But you did realize you're going to have to work with exotic animals when you come out, right?
Well, that's just fine by me. I've been hearing about Norco for years, and I've met a lot of great people from there, but I haven't actually been there. So I'm really excited about it.
Well, you're not too far away there in Colorado either from here.
Well, it's not real close, but, you know,
you
that's
walk
why
there.
We have airplanes.
You don't want to ride here, no. That's probably true.
No.
How have you been?
I've been great. I just finished traveling for the year right before Thanksgiving, so I'm enjoying a nice little break of being at home until
you're 1 month off a year, Julie.
Actually, I've got 8 weeks at home.
Oh,
so,
wow! That's a big.
I'm real excited about that. Yeah, it is. But I've only been home a couple of weeks, and I'm already having bad dreams about I was supposed to be at a clinic and missed it, and you know. So I guess while my consciousness likes being home, my subconscious thinks I should be on the road still.
Well, and you always come home at one of the most beautiful times of the year where you live in Colorado, too.
Yeah, we're looking forward to ski season gearing up, and hopefully it's going to snow tonight. And so, yeah, I mean, it's almost always beautiful here. Sometimes it's a little cold, but still pretty nonetheless.
Now, do you ski?
Oh, yeah, I'm a big skier. My husband is the CEO of a ski resort, and we met skiing, and so it's something we share. And, yeah, I've skied all my life. That's why I moved to Colorado, actually, was for the skiing. And so I love it. You know, oddly enough, skiing and riding are very similar sports in terms of your balance and the way you maneuver and turn and all that. So, yeah,
you know,
I love
Julie,
skiing.
I could say that my thighs don't burn quite as much when I'm riding my horse as they do skiing, and it's not quite as cold. So
yeah,
similarities.
Well,
and
there's that simple fact that your skis do not have a will of their own, even though sometimes it seems like they do.
Seems like that.
They
I don't
know.
I skied once in my life, and they certainly had a will of their own.
Now, where in Colorado are you?
We're in south central Colorado. As the crow flies, we're sort of due south of Aspen, although you pretty much can't get there from here without driving all the way around the state. But we're just south of the middle of the state, just below the Continental Divide. So we live at 8,000 feet of altitude. My husband works at 11,000 feet. So it's a beautiful alpine mountain.
Now, Julie, the ranches here in Norco all are about a half an acre to an acre. Yours is a little bigger than that in Colorado?
Well, not a lot. Ours isn't. Some of them are. I mean, we have a small property. It's 15 acres, and it's irrigated land, so it's pretty nice. It's big enough for us. You know, I had dreams and visions of a much bigger place, but the financial reality of that slapped me in the face, and turns out 15 acres is just fine.
Well, you're home 8 weeks a year, too, so you're on the road the rest of the time. Well, I hope you enjoy your trip coming up. Can you give us the dates again?
I'll be in Norco for clinic May 4th and 5th, and then I go directly to Chino Hills for, and that's a Friday, Saturday, by the way, which is a little bit unusual because I'm backing it up on Sunday and Monday with a ranch horse clinic in Chino Hills at a ranch out there. And so that'll be fun. So it'll be two clinics I'm doing, and I think some people will be doing both of them, some just one or the other, but we decided to back them up and kind of kill two birds with one stone, so to speak.
I'm looking at your schedule, and I want to go to the next one, the Women's Riding and Yoga Retreat. What do you do there?
Wow.
You teach people yoga, too?
It is fabulous. Well, no, I don't teach the yoga. I bring somebody in for that who's much more qualified than I am. It is at a fabulous five-star guest ranch, and we combine a riding clinic with a yoga clinic, and you spend the day riding, trail riding, doing a lesson, taking yoga, getting a massage, soaking in the beautiful hot tub. It's just a luxurious, we call it a retreat to make it sound like it's work, but it's really just a fabulous weekend, and it's all women.
I was just thinking, I feel so bad for you having to schlep up there to that five-star resort, sitting in a hot tub doing yoga and riding horses. It sounds horrible. I feel so bad for you.
Well, as it turns out, it is quite a lot of work for me because I'll have 30 riders to contend with. So we split them up into groups. So I'm pretty much working all day doing riding lessons. But I'll tell you what, if you got to work hard all day, I can't think of a better place to do it. It's a difficult clinic to get into. The waiting list is long, but it pays off to be on the waiting list. A lot of people do get in the end. So, and we're also doing a ranch riding adventure there in September, which is for men and women. The riding and yoga are just for women. But we were getting a lot of complaints from the men. They couldn't come, so we scheduled a third one to include men. So that should be fun. Glenn, you should come to that.
Well, you know, the only reason the men want to come is because there's women there. You know that, right?
Well, and that's why the women want it women only.
Julie, where can people find out more about your clinic?
Well, you can just go to juliegoodnight.com, and all the information you'd ever want to know about where I'm going and what I'll be doing. And also, I have a pretty extensive library of articles to help people with their training and almost any problem you can imagine I've written about over the last 15 years, and it's there on my website. So that's juliegoodnight.com.
All right, juliegoodnight.com. Thank you so much for being on with us, Julie, and enjoy your trip next May to Norco. I think you're going to love it.
I'm really looking forward to it. Thanks, Glenn. Thanks, Jamie.
All right, we'll see you, Julie. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, we have Jennifer back with us here. Thank you so much for sitting through that conversation you couldn't even hear half of. So we appreciate that.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
When you are at a party, people go, oh, I've got this pain in my neck.
No, that never, ever happens.
Okay,
ever.
So
they never asked me to adjust them either.
I've got a pain in my
neck.
After,
really?
You know,
glass of wine or beer.
Adjust them at the party?
Yeah. It never ends.
They're
supposed to be family functions like Thanksgiving.
So there's something wrong with that. Glenn should not ask you to
I don't mind. Them. I really don't mind.
All right,
but
we'll talk after this.
Okay.
You bill them then, too?
No, billing. No.
I'm just checking.
But, yeah, no, you know, people usually ask stuff, but that's fine. I mean, you know, it's just like any profession. It's fine.
I've got this pain in my wrist.
I just want it reciprocated. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny. My identical twin sister is a chiropractor also in Orange County.
Really?
Yeah. And so usually we adjust each other at family functions.
So last night I said at the party.
Yeah.
And I was wrong. Last night I said at the party that you were the most beautiful chiropractor in the whole state of California. And I was wrong. There's another one.
There's one exactly like me. Although I dye my hair blonde, she dyes her hair brown. So there you go.
Okay.
So we do look different. Although I have worked in her office before to cover for her when we have the same color hair. And I even wore a name tag that said Dr. Wells.
Did they know? Did people know?
Well, she was there showing me how things work for the morning.
It's like a high school thing.
And it is, kind of.
Did I totally ever date the same guy?
No. Well, we tried in college, like, to try to trick her boyfriend, but I just giggled too much. I just couldn't do it. But I was treating her patient, and I said, does anyone not want to wait? I could adjust you. I'm Dr. Wells. And they're like, yeah. Ha, ha, ha. Very funny. And I seriously took the patient back, and she did not believe that I was not my sister, whose name is Dr. Friedman. And
I wheeled the little stool back in the hallway. I said, hey, Aim, your patient doesn't think that I'm, you know, she thinks I'm you. And we have the exact same voice. And so my sister wheeled into the hallway in her stool, and she said, what do you mean? And her patient just screamed, ah, just killed you. But yeah, no, we're both chiropractors and twins, which is kind of fun.
So you're in med school, or you're in chiropractic mm-hmm. school, and, like, there's a particular exam that you are not feeling 100% confident about, and yet your sister really nails that subject. Did you ever
well, what was
do the
cool,
old switcheroo?
No, what was cool, she was a year ahead of me in chiropractic school. Actually, I didn't really care for chiropractors, and I got hurt. I got bucked off a horse really, really bad. And I was riding a hunter jumper that every time, and he had a bad back, and every time he went to the left, he'd bolt off with me. And we had a few injuries with one another. And I also fell at work, and work wanted me to, you know, go and get treatment. And I just felt twisted. And I went to a chiropractor at her insistence, because she was entering chiropractic school. And it made such a difference in 3 months. I felt like a new person, even better than when I injured my back in high school. So I said, this is what I want to do. I just kind of saw myself doing that for a living. And so I started school a year after her. I went to school 7 days a week for 8 months, and I did all my 2 years of prerequisites, and I got in a year behind her. So it was cool. I got all her notes, all her books. I got to learn how to adjust by, you know, through her and her study groups a year before everyone else. So I felt when I went into clinic and actually graduated, I had a lot more experience and knowledge than a lot of people in my own class. So I felt more comfortable about what I do. So people say, oh, do you get nervous adjusting necks? Or no, I never have. I'm just totally comfortable with what I do. And I only do what I feel safe. So there's some adjustments and things I don't particularly care for, and I just avoid those. And then I always tell patients, if something's uncomfortable for you, let me know. So it's not about me. It's about you and about your comfort and about what you can handle today. So I try to keep it individualized.
Soothing.
I know. I can listen to her all day, actually. I'm not going to interrupt her. I'm going to let her go.
And I do. I rub everyone's neck. I give them, like, a nice little, if they have a neck problem, I give them a nice little massage before I adjust them. But it's actually the kind of palpate their neck and see what's going on.
You have opening today, by the way. We're just
I will even stay during my lunch hour for you. Not a problem.
Nice. Well, thank you for having us here and helping.
And I do hope we do get to go on our wagon ride. I was up till 11 o'clock last night decorating it with lights and
now, is this
and music.
Santa Anna wins or Santa whatever wins.
Santa Anna wins. Okay. It can be pretty brutal here. It's like a wind tunnel, and especially down my street. You know, all the trash comes in and, like, gets sucked in on
our
fence.
Okay, we got to tell you guys something. That Jennifer and I have a reputation. Our family will not travel with us on vacation anymore, because every time we go on vacation, natural disasters follow us, and we have been through almost every kind of natural disaster you can imagine, the worst hurricanes, the worst blizzards, ice storms, everything. We have not experienced an earthquake, and we have not been blown in the Pacific by the wind.
Not in California.
So,
hello.
So I know. So count on the earthquake this week, because we're here. So it's fun to say.
Well, I hope it stays beautiful like it is right now. I mean,
this is beautiful.
This is the mornings where I'm shocked we don't have snow on the mountains, but when it snows on the mountain range and the sun comes over the hill over here in the
morning,
that's
another thing too.
Beautiful.
I know you're kind of used to this, but we're not used to having mountains, you know, within sight. In Lexington,
really beautiful.
It is beautiful.
These are almost real mountains. I don't have.
They are real.
You hill.
I have rocky looking hills.
What's cool is within an hour of here, an hour and a half, you can be at the beach. You could be in the mountains. You could be in the city. You can be anywhere.
Beach
is
Saturday's
so
agenda.
Cool.
That's what
oh,
I
yeah?
think Saturday's
cool.
agenda. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes, I think Jennifer has experienced Venice Beach once in her life. Yes, because, you know,
okay.
her brother's getting high on a regular basis while growing up wasn't enough. We have to just give her that experience one more time.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
Well,
yeah.
Muscle Beach, that's where you're going to go.
That's right. Yeah, oh, yeah. Muscle Beach. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to see him roller skating in his little
short shorts.
Shorty shorts.
Yeah, that ain't happening either.
I just have a nightmare. Well, I'm aware.
I'd rather drive your carriage in 80 mile an hour. Sienna,
I want
Sienna
you to drive my carriage. That would be so much fun. So, yeah, Wyatt and Manny are looking forward to it.
Well, thank you again for having us out, and thank you for being on the show
nice
today.
You
can't wait.
All right. Well, later today. Sounds good. And we have one more guest here. Come on up to the microphone and tell us your name.
Mindy Green.
Hi, Mindy. Now, you've been running around here taking pictures all day. So what's with that?
I used to do photography as a part-time job, and Lisa asked me to come out and shoot you guys.
Well, now, Lisa said she told us a story that she is the most enthusiastic photographer you're ever going to meet. That on one of the AXA rides they had here,
This girl was actually running behind the horses for the 10 miles taking pictures. That's dedication. I got to tell you, I've been seen a lot of photographers at Rolex and the World Equestrian Games. There ain't none of them running. Just saying, you know.
Yeah, not, but you get the best pictures when you catch the people off guard.
That's true, and I'm sure she had some interesting ones about this
one. Yeah, my people are going to have to approve all the photos before they're published, okay? And not having, like,
as soon as she figures out who those people are.
Anybody want to be my people?
There are volunteers here, actually. Yay, good.
Well, we can't wait to see the photos, and again, what an experience. I would say that with 33,000 horses, next time they should put you on one so you don't have to run the 10 miles. If they put that request in, that'd be great. Feel sorry for you.
Actually, I prefer to be on foot rather than horseback when doing the photos because you tend to get the bigger reaction out of the horse when they come around the corner and you're standing there and they go, ooh, and you get the big wide-eyed
ear. You can spook them easier. I'm sure the riders appreciate that.
It's a little more dynamic. You can get pretty good.
Gosh, too.
Well, thank you, Mindy. We are running out of time here today. Thank you, everybody. Thank you to Larry at America's Country Store, to Purina, to Backcountry Chiropractic, to the All-American Trailers for having us out here. We're going to be live again here tomorrow morning from a different location. Lisa, where are we going to be tomorrow? Thrifty Horse tomorrow, and that's right down the street here, if I remember right.
Everything is right down the street
and
here. I love it.
The Thrifty Horse place concerns me a little bit. Like, Jennifer and Janie aren't going to spend enough of my money here today. Then we go to a place where they can spend more of it tomorrow. Thank you so much for that, Lisa. I really appreciate that.
Does that mean you're giving me your credit card when you said I'm spending your money?
Oh, I said that wrong,
yeah,
didn't I?
Did.
Yeah.
Yay,
and we also want to thank the Hampton. They put us up in the suites there, and it's very nice.
On a different floor.
I know.
Fantastic.
We're right above you. Did you hear me pounding on the floor this morning?
I don't want to know what that was.
We thank everybody for joining us today. We're going to be back again tomorrow from Norco, and I think we're going to have a few stories from our adventures later today. So please join us 9 a.m. Eastern tomorrow morning on Horses in the Morning. Enjoy your day, everybody.
Yes, and nice to actually sit next to you and do a show. It's fantastic. Yes. Everybody, please remember to spay, neuter, and geld.
Oh, and Jamie, one other thing. Remember when you're riding today.